Husbands, men, wives are to be treated as beautiful, expensive treasures. Listen, for that is what they are.
God's Word has a strong message today for you husbands out there, and even for you men who aren't married. It's a strong message, but also a message of huge grace. Hey friends, welcome to Live in the Light, a radio ministry where God's Word is opened, and we pray it would radically transform your life even today. And men, for us here today, it's all about what God wants from us as husbands, as we seek to know, to value, and to love our wives as God wants from us. Well, and as we've seen already, what God wants from us is always for His glory and always for our good. So may the Lord lead us this day to both. 1 Peter 3:7 is our text, and here now is our teacher, Pastor Robbie.
It's amazing to me how much security is important to women. Now, we joke around that, you know, some women marry for money, you know, and that's their sinful side of that for sure. But there's a biblical side for this too. A husband to be the provider of the home. Husbands, it's not okay to be lazy. I know there are many situations I hear right now, and I'm not trying to make those, and whether it's out of work or lost, I mean, just entrusting the Lord with that. Oh, the overarching thing is so many women want to feel secure, and this is a great need of them, that there will be not about making the home rich, it's about providing the basic needs and trusting the Lord, and I take that very seriously. I hope, men, you do too. Which is what we are called to as a need of our wives. Number three is this, openness and honesty, or honesty and openness. It's amazing how many women, again, want to feel security by being able to trust their husbands. And trusting their husbands means that the husband reveals his heart and is able to speak of the things so the woman isn't guessing all the time as to what he really feels. Is he telling me the truth? Is being honest with his emotions? Do I really know my husband? It's amazing how much women desire that. And they need that. It's a need of women from their husbands. Number two, conversation. Men, here's some advice. Talk to your wife. Talk. It's amazing how many men don't. They're like, well, I'm not really good at talking. It's no excuse. It's about having the time and prioritizing the time to sit down and to talk, to spend time off the phone, off the computer, putting work down for a second, turning off the TV, whatever it is, and spending time talking. The number one need of women that they have of men is this, affection. Affection. Many men spell affection, S-E-X. That's not what women are talking about here, all right? Women are talking about, I want to know my husband just loves me, hugs me, holds my hand, puts his arm around me, rub my neck, whatever it might be, just indications of. Now, where these vary between women is going to be in different places, whatever, but this, man, we have to understand. Now, my advice to you right now is that you will take this list and you will talk to your wife about it today. You will have a conversation. Like, I don't know, man, you're probably maybe not like me, whatever. I like doing stuff like this because I genuinely find it interesting and I want to know kind of how I'm doing. And I really believe so much that a strong marriage is a strong home, is a strong life in so many ways. So I just want to, and sometimes it hurts to hear what the answers are, but I believe in this according to all that God has done. So man, I just pray you'll be humble enough just to believe in a conversation. I think your wife will be blessed by that as well. And of course, there's the other side to that is the man's needs from a woman. And see, when they work together, notice what the Bible does too, right? It's never just, hey, wives, here's what you need to do, and husbands, you get off the hook. It's never just husbands, here you need to do, and wives, you get off the hook. It's two together. Whenever these exhortations in scripture, it's wives, husbands, or husbands and wives. That's the way. See, when the woman is doing what she's doing by faith in Jesus Christ, and the husband who he's doing, that's when the blessing occurs. That's when the power is known. That's when the marriage is seen with such strength. And we engage one another, not to get advantage over each other, to love one another. the ways that God has intended. So husbands, we are called to live with our wives in such a way that we prove we know them, that we know them. And again, it alters our lives as a result because we love them. This leads us into point number two now. I will honor my wife, proving I value my wife. I will honor her, proving I value her. So again, verse 7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Now, there's no question that we esteem those people that we honor. Think of meeting someone that we greatly esteem. When you greatly esteem someone and you meet them, what happens? You're in your best behavior, right? Because you honor them. And by honor them, you put a big smile on your face. You're not looking grumpy when you meet someone you deem important or you esteem, right? You shake their hand. You often stand up as a sign of respect, right? You might even do a little curtsy without even knowing it, or a little bow, because you are humbled under their presence. And the reason you're doing that is because you esteem them, and therefore you honor them. And this is what happens again with the husband. You will honor your wife when you value your wife. If you don't value her, you don't honor her. So I remember when I was on my first dates with Jill, I remember I was so nervous that I couldn't even eat. It was really embarrassing, right? Now I honor her by eating, right? She's a good cook, right? But it's like in that moment, I esteem her so much that I honor her. But see, the path for marriage is, that's not just for dating, that it can continue as you go on. Some men don't believe that right now, but then you're not trusting God and you're limiting God, that it will deepen, it'll change, but it'll deepen and grow and be so magnificent. There's nothing more I love to see than a couple that's been married for decades and decades, and the power of honor is there as much as ever, if not more. And you look at that and you're like, man, it's so much more than just the superficial things our world says is ultimately Jesus Christ. You know, it's a little bit cliche in our day, and it's maybe even overused, but it doesn't cease to be true. It's the triangle of marriage. When Jesus Christ is at the top and the husband and wife, as they draw together towards Christ, you automatically draw closer together. It's just true. Christ is here, and the closer you draw to Christ, the closer you draw to one another. Now, Peter here refers to the woman as the weaker vessel. This does not mean that a woman is weaker mentally. It does not mean she's weaker morally. It does not mean she's weaker spiritually. What this means is that the woman is weaker physically. She is weaker physically than the man. Now, of course, there are exceptions. And I can hear someone say, I knew a girl in grade 5, and then she pummeled this other kid. And then she's a boy. That's not what I'm talking about, right? There are exceptions, but it's impossible to argue against this generally. Well, what is Peter's point with this? Peter's point is this, that women are precious and they deserve to be treated as such. See the word vessel? A vessel literally refers to a beautiful, fragile vase. An expensive, beautiful, fragile vase. Husbands, men, wives are to be treated as beautiful, expensive treasures. Listen, for that is what they are. Now, man, as being the stronger vessel physically, man, look right here. This is so important. There's never, ever, ever an excuse good enough to take advantage of your physical strength over your wife. Never. There is never a good enough excuse of being harsh with her, and God forbid you would ever think of doing something unkind to her physically, that you would ever think of doing that. The men who do that are the biggest cowards on this earth. You are abusing what God has entrusted to you to protect, not to hurt. Ever. Ever. God takes this very, very seriously. And we need to too. The wives that God has entrusted to us are to be seen as treasures, as vessels that are beautiful. You know, in Peter's day, women had very little rights, if any, especially within marriage. And therefore, these commands that Peter writes down here, they are revolutionary. They're pointing to the value of a wife. And notice what Peter says here. He says again in verse 7, he says, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. They are heirs with you, meaning that wives are a fully equal. They share the inheritance of Christ exactly as the husband. So the husband is to value his wife as a child of God. The husband is to value his wife as a daughter of the King, as King Jesus sees her. And what happens when a husband sees his wife as the Lord sees her? See, this is the point here again. So many husbands are viewing through the lens of the world and are getting emptied out with thoughts of loss that take value away from their wife. But when the husband sees his wife as the Lord sees her, of course he sees her in value and wants to honor her, because the Lord never looks upon our wives as something other than precious. So that's why, again, as you draw closer to Christ, you have more of God's thoughts in your heart and mind, and you see your wife as God wants you to see her, then you value her, then you honor her. It's kind of that simple. So the closer I draw to the Lord, the more I hear God whispering in my ear, "Hey, Rob, you got a great wife." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're right, I do, Lord. I got a great wife." And I'm like, I'm in the Word and I'm praying and I'm sitting there. And the Lord whispered to me, he'll say, "Rob, your wife is precious. Isn't she beautiful?" I'm like, "Yeah, Lord, she is precious." And because I'm thinking his thoughts, I think maybe you should get up and go tell her that. I'm like, "Yeah, that's a good idea. She is great, isn't it?" And the Lord's like, "Well, I gave her to you, Robbie. I'm the one who did that." I'm like, yeah, she's a gift. That's literally how it goes in my life. The closer I draw to the Lord, the more I hear. And so you get up and you walk over and you're like, "Hey, God told me to say something to you, hon," you know? And but you mean it. You mean it. Whenever God does something in your heart like that, you're not faking it. You're like, "God told me to say that." You're like, you feel it because it's true. Again, the problem is with us as husbands, so often we believe false things and lies and we neglect the things that are actually true. I'm giving you theology that can't be argued today. I'm giving you the truth of Jesus Christ right in front of your face. And that's the key as a husband, to see it and to believe it, regardless even of how you feel it or not. To start taking actions towards, this is true. God is right. So this is when I just love to honor my wife. I love to show her value. I love to value her. And I'll open up a little bit what happens within my home and my heart. I often tell my wife how amazing I think she is. I say that to her out loud a lot. I often tell my wife how beautiful I think she is. You know, like for me, just when I think it, I say it. And I think it a lot. So I tell her that. I just thought it, so I'll say it. Hon, I just thought it. I'm just gonna say it. I think you're beautiful. I'm so thankful for you. I often tell my wife how much I see her doing. I think this is very important, man. Say, "Jill, I see all the hard work you're doing. I see from the moment you wake up to the moment you put your head down the pillow that you are working as hard as any person I know. And often, even when you're sleeping, you still have to get up and work, like last night." Right? I say, "Jill, I see the laundry. I see you cleaning up after the kids. I see that spill again that left unnamed did in our house, and you had to go in. I see the homework you're helping out with. I see the prayers that you are praying. I see the effort. I see it, Jill. I want you to know I am not oblivious to how hard you're working." That has never been received with anything but gratitude. It has never been a bad play. Because why? Because women want to know they're valued. They want to know that you see the content. They don't want to be taken for granted. They can never be taken for granted. To see the contribution they are adding to your life. That will always be a win. I will often hug my wife and hold my wife and tell my kids how great their mom is. And I hear, "You're weird, Dad." But that's okay. Listen, I read this week. Listen to this. I read about an 11-year-old boy describing his home. He said, "My mother keeps a cookie jar and we can harp ourselves, except we can if it's too close to mealtime. But Dad can do it anytime. When he comes from the office, he helps himself no matter if it's just before we eat. He always slaps my mother on the behind and brags about how great she is, how great she can cook. Then she turns around and they hug. And the way they do it, you'd think they just got married or something." Now listen to what he says at the end. He says this. He says, "It makes me feel good. This is what I like best about my family." Amen. That's so powerful. See, because it's God's design. husbands and wives would love each other. In my home, my wife will not be talked back to, ever. Not in my home. No kid's gonna talk back to their mom. If they think they're gonna get away with it, they gotta go through me then. Don't you talk back to your wife. Don't you talk back to your mother like that. So, I wasn't talking to you directly, okay? Sorry about that. Yeah. But this is a very, I was taught this many years ago from men and women, husbands and wives, we greatly appreciate who mentored us. Men, you must at all costs defend your wife. The moment a husband starts agreeing with kids as they start to tease or make fun or stand up, that is devastating. If you got issues with how things are going on in a private room by yourself, somewhere with your wife, you talk about that. But in the moment, you never, ever let down your protection of your wife. It's just too important. So the kids in my house, they will not get away with that. And I let them know that that's as serious about it I can be about anything. Because we are one flesh. Because if they talk back to her, they talk back to me. I often think about how much I need to get off the couch and help my wife by serving my... I just think about this stuff a lot. I think about how just constantly, you know, I come home from work and the days can be long and the opposition can be great, but you know, you sit in the car on the way home and I got to regroup, man, because the next level of ministry is about to begin. And it's important. And it's tiring. But it's so important. Often the dinner table, I will take a survey. Hey, who thinks mom's the greatest mom in the world? And every hand better go up at my dinner table. You know what I'm saying? Right? I often tell my wife that I think she's the best. And so you're hearing all this. You're like, you really think your wife's the best? I do. Listen, I think she's the best for me. And husbands, I think your wife is the best for you. And I believe God believes the same about all of that. Husbands, you need to see your wife as the best. You're like, yeah, but listen. If you see her as God sees her, you will think that she's the best. Perfect? No. I'm not talking about that. Last time I checked, you weren't either. This is called grace because we've received grace. Husbands, I think your wife is the best for you. And God wants you to feel the same way as well. The last thing I want to portray right now is that somehow our homes, an image of perfection that's not even close. I do want to say this though, is that God has taught us a lot over the years and a lot of people and poured into him biblically. And I just know his ways work. And I believe in all my heart. And I can personally testify that, man, as struggle as it is from time to time, the grace of God is real and the love of God is real and the power of God is real and the unity that God sends as a blessing. And we have seen marriage after marriage after marriage within this church and the history of our church be transformed from disaster to blessing. Many of you could stand up right now and testify to that because the ways of God work. What a blessing to understand that. I believe in what God's saying to us today. And often for me, some of the greatest times of my growth in my marriage is when I see the need for my repentance. And men, many of us today, we're going to have to, the starting point is saying, I haven't done it right. Lord, I repent to you and to confess that to our wives to say, but today's a new day. Today's a new day. Every day is a fight for the Lord's way. Now, marriage is hard work. Amen, married people, right? And a good marriage is harder work and a great marriage is extremely hard work. It's a denial of self. It's a pursuit of loving the other person more than ourselves. But I wanted to stay here for a second because I think this is so important to you. Husbands, here's a secret. Here's a secret, right? The more you truly honor your wife, the more secure she becomes. And the more secure she becomes, listen, the more freedom that you're granted. Now, it's not like our goal is freedom. Oh, just get me away. That's all I want. I'm not talking about it all, right? But I really mean this. The more a woman is loved, the more she feels secure and the more relaxed she becomes. When a woman isn't honored, when she isn't loved, she gets to feel insecure. When she feels insecure, she feels like she has to control. And when she starts to control, then she starts to talk and talk. She starts to try to get things. And because she's afraid deep down of what might be happening, because she doesn't ultimately know where her husband stands. But see, when you honor her and love her and treasure her, it just causes her to soften and relax. And when she is relaxed and trusting in what God is doing through her husband's life, it's incredible the peace that flows from that point. This is why honor is so valuable, husbands, because when you love your wife, you love yourself. You cannot be distant from her and not distance yourself in some way in your walk with Christ, but you bless and you are unified, then that's when God really does great work as well. Honor is also so important, husbands, because listen, it not only affects your wife, it transfers to your kids. I mean, please understand, your kids are watching. Why are so many young men disasters when it comes to women in our day? Because they've never had anything modeled other than disaster. Husbands, your kids are watching. The boys are looking. This is the kind of man that I'm supposed to be. And the girls are saying, this is the kind of man I want to marry, or maybe they don't want to marry. They're watching. What an opportunity to model for them who we desire to be as men. That's so key. Now, that was a more difficult stretch I just went through, and there's some men here, and there's a lot of conviction in the room, sure. Remember, as I said last week with the women, conviction, yes, Holy Spirit, guilt, no, okay? In Jesus' name, guilt, flee, lies of the enemy, be gone. But conviction, yes. Now, some of you are sitting here, and you're looking at all this, and you're like, honor and love and sacrificing for my wife and one flesh. And some of you are like, man, I feel like such a failure. You know what I say to that? I say, welcome to the club, all right? We're all failures. That's the point of the gospel. That's why Jesus died. He died because we can't do it. He died because we're sinful, weak, frail. In many cases, on our own, pathetic men. But see, that's the grace of God. That's why he died, because we are unable to do anything apart from Jesus Christ. So if you feel like a failure, then I do too. And that's why God's grace is so rich today, for you to understand. God gives you this message right now because he says, I'm not done dispensing grace upon your life. And he says, whatever's happened in the past, today's a new day. Receive my love, receive my grace, receive my strength, receive my joy, and now go live differently tomorrow than you did yesterday, believing that my grace will be upon you to allow you and infuse you with truth and fuel you with grace to be the man that I want you to be. Husbands, receive the love of Jesus Christ upon you, that he paid it all, that you can be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ and become the husband he wants you to become. Grace. Failure? Yes. Praise God. Because we need Christ to make us anything. No husband can stand up and say, I'm the greatest husband for anything they've ever done. If anything is of any good in any of our lives, it's the working of the grace of Jesus Christ, which you cannot earn, but you can ask for, you can beg for, you can plead for. That's why Jesus Christ died. That's why his blood was shed. Remember, all throughout Peter, hope, gospel, 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 hope, gospel. Why? Holiness. Husbands, because of the gospel, you can be a husband that loves your wife and honors her. Only because of the gospel. That's the grace available to every single person here today if you choose to receive it as such. I will live with my wife, proving I know my wife. I will honor my wife, proving I value my wife. And thirdly, I will love my wife so I don't weaken my life. Hear that, men? This is very important. I will love my wife so I don't weaken my life. Notice the starting implications of failing to honor your wife as a husband. Look at the end of verse 7. So showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Notice, so that, here's the clause, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Is that in your Bible too? That's amazing. So that your prayers may not be hindered. So stop long enough, husbands, to consider what's being said here, clear as day in the word of God. The husband who fails to love his wife, the husband who fails to honor his wife, ready, will be disciplined by the Lord. You're like, what do you mean? That doesn't say that in the text. Well, what does the text say? The text says your prayers will be hindered, which is an exact repercussion from a disobedient husband. Your prayers will be hurt. The word hindered there literally is a military term describing a trench that is dug out so people cannot find passage. So what we're learning here right now, if we fail to love our wives in some sense, in some way, we are digging a trench so that when our prayers are offered, they find themselves in the trench and they fail to go to God. Now, some of the reasons men don't care about verse 7 at the end here because their theology of prayer is so bad. Because they don't pray, so they're like, well, what difference does that make? I mean, that's a life going to nowhere. But if you get a good theology of prayer, you know without prayer you're dead. And the idea of God not receiving the prayers I offer to him because I'm failing to love or honor my wife, that becomes a major, major problem in my life. Because apart from Christ, I could do nothing as it is. It's amazing to me then, if I look at this, how concerned God is with husbands as they relate to their wives, to the point it changes our prayer life, to the point that it changes our lives for good or for bad. A failure to honor your wife, listen, is a choice to weaken your life. Again, this is why there's so many marriages and so many men whose lives have fallen apart, because it starts with, I'm not honoring my wife and loving her. And God's like, okay, you want to do it your way? Go do it your way. It's hard to argue that from this text right here. See, the choice is, I won flesh. He who loves his wife loves himself. So I want to love my wife so I can see my life strengthened in Jesus Christ. This is 100% God's will. We do not win outside of God's will. So husbands, submit to the Lord. Submit to the Lord and love your wife. And love your wife. Last thing I'll do is this Genesis or Ephesians chapter 5 again. Notice this text. This is again, this other amazing passage. We do Ephesians 5. Can we do that? Do we got that? Ephesians 5. Yes, maybe. No, not working. Computer stilled. I like Hope and Holiness. It's pretty good. Do we have it? No, it's not working. Okay, I'm going to read it from my Bible then. Man, if you want to turn there, that'd be a great idea. Ephesians chapter 5. Go quick. I'm just going to end with this. Look at this. Verses 25. Husbands, ready for this? This is unbelievable. Husbands, love your wives. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might, notice this, sanctify her. So Christ loved the church by sanctifying her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Jesus Christ cleanses the church with his word. It cleanses her from sin. It washes her from sin so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So Jesus Christ gave himself for the church to cleanse her with the washing of his word, to present her one day as pure and free from spotless. And what it says in verse 28, in the same way husbands love your wives. Oh my goodness. In the same way husbands. So in some form, in some way husbands, this is what a mentor taught me many years ago. I want to say to you, in some form, in some way, I cannot take away Jill's sin. Only Jesus can do that. But in some way, I'm responsible to love my wife in such a way with the word, to cleanse her with God's word, not my word, God's word, that I will present her in some form before God at the end in time, in judgment before God, and say, what have you done with the wife that I have entrusted with you? Have you led her well? Have you cared for her? Have you allowed her to be washed with her? And she's responsible for her salvation. But I'm responsible in some part for presenting her as being well led, well cared for, and loved by the word of God in the grace of God. That's a big deal. And we need to feel the weight. Listen, in the grace of God, in the grace of God, to say our role is very, very important.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. You can also write us at any time in Canada at 500 Great Lakes Boulevard, Oakville, Ontario, Canada, L6L6X9. Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.